we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. I'm talking about we cover down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. We go way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. And it is that time of the week. It is that time of the week, my favorite time of the week on the show. Boomer and McQueen. So Boomer and McQueen, you have no idea how much they do in the background that makes all this stuff run and makes it work. And then I get to come on here and just talk. But they've done so much stuff already, people don't even realize. And they got that amazing podcast, the Right Life podcast, which is going good. But anyway, this is the chance to hear from them. But we got it. We got some whoop whoops. So start me some whoop whoops. All right. Boomer and McQueen. How you doing, Miss McQueen?
Oh, I'm doing lovely today.
Get there, the microphone there. You good?
Well, there we go. I'm doing lovely today because the sun is shining, and like I say, I'm solar powered, so I'm good today.
Ah, yeah. Yes. We used to say that in the military, we were all solar powered rangers.
Mm-hmm.
We work better in the sun. Okay, so I got questions.
Questions.
We hopefully have answers.
Boom shakalaka. You got answers?
I got some answers. We'll see which ones pop out today.
All right. Well, tell you what. I'm going to go with this. So we were just talking right before you walked in the studio, McQueen. So we were just talking about, your sister-in-law, Karina, who y'all did the podcast with mm-hmm. recently, and what an amazing person she is. But she was adopted from Ukraine. So anyway, you guys. And your family's had a ministry to Ukraine, Boom.
Yeah.
I used to be on that board, as a matter of fact. And all said and done, you guys have an amazing personal connection to Ukraine. So watching the news right now, hearing the debates about whether we should stay in the support of Ukraine, how much support we should be providing, what kind, all that kind of stuff. Does it affect your view of the news since you have that personal connection, or can you see it objectively?
I'm going to first say that I'm biased just because of our connections, family, friends that are still there. And, just the reports that we're continually getting from them. But with that said, would I say for the U.S. to ever have boots on the ground there? No, I do not say that. But what I will say is what I don't like that the U.S. is doing, and I have not seen. And I think you may agree with this, Phil. Maybe you can tell me if you do. But there's no plan.
Yeah.
There's no plan. We're just continually sending them money and other things with no end in sight. Like, why haven't they set some type of, hey, this is what you're getting, and there you go, instead of an open checkbook?
So let me ask you this: knowing your personal connection to just the people over there in general, and
yes.
having friends and family sort of with in terms of Karina's connections, your sister.
Mm-hmm.
If you heard tomorrow that the Biden administration was done, they were pulling out any more support, what would your initial reaction be?
Well, I'd be upset. And I mean, I would. It's a fine line for me just because of that biasness, just if that's the word, but
biasness works. We'll
do biasness.
We'll go with biasness. I like biasness,
but
I'm very biasness myself.
And it's kind of like family there. I mean, my sister came from there. We had a ministry over there. We technically still have a ministry over there.
Yeah.
And with so many friends and people that we are helping, and our hearts for Ukraine. Yeah, I would be upset. But on the other side of it, this is our country as well, and we have to. We have to do what's right for us, but also we have to help, I believe we have to help our allies
okay.
as well.
All right. So you married into it, McQueen.
She married into
you
it.
You married into this.
I did.
She married, you married into this mess.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
What about you? Can you stay objective watching the news on Ukraine?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. And it is, like he said, it's a fine line. And I think it kind of puts a unique perspective on things. Because, so often, just when you're talking about, war, other countries, you're always talking about it in that collective plural sense. You're not necessarily putting faces on the other end of
yeah.
the receiving end of whatever it may be. So
it humanizes it.
Yeah, exactly. So we have that unique perspective with, knowing people there, having family there, knowing the villages there. So it just hits home a lot more. But I think at the same time, like just like in anything, you know, when there's, if there's evil going on somewhere, you know, evil's dealt with, we just pray for protection over those people, you know, yeah. and the people that we know and that we love. Because, you know, if like if on the flip side, if there was something, some horror, you know, just horrific going on that was going to take over the whole world, we wouldn't want it just to allow it to go on because we know someone, you know, we want, mm-hmm. but I want protection over those people. So it's hard, you know, it yeah. really is. And I don't know what, like, there's, I mean, there's not a right answer. I just think,
have you had a chance to be there yourself?
I've not gotten to go, okay. which is, I want to so bad. And I think that like the one
bad
year that we were,
now.
Yeah, right. The one year that we were going to go, it was like right when, I don't, remember what happened, but something also happened, you know, kind of this, you know, similar magnitude where it was like unsafe for US people
That's
to be going.
Back when they seized Crimea.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was probably in like, I mean, the last, I don't know, eight years ago or something.
Yeah,
eight, 9 years ago, something like that.
Yeah. 2014, so I believe, is when they seized Crimea.
Yeah, that's the year we got married. Yeah.
When we got married, it was right after that. So.
Okay, mm-hmm. there you go. Yeah, yeah. That'd be the time frame.
So, you know, it's so, but at the same time, you know, we see that it's not like lives are just being affected. It's like lives are being uprooted and destroyed and people dying. So it's just, it's hard to like, I mean, there's definitely that bias and just because you know some people, you know, personally.
So remember, let me ask you this too, real quick. Have y'all gotten any updates from folks over there lately? Maybe your dad would have the updates, but.
He has the updates and he usually shares them with us. I know that when I talked to him, they're still not in the exact city. That we have a lot of contacts
yeah.
in,
yeah.
but they're right outside of it.
They're very close from what I saw on some of it. Yeah.
Very close. And, you know, we've had friends that were in the military of Ukraine that decided to go fight for their country. And some of them, specifically one has passed, was killed in action.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's why it's so close to home for us.
Yeah.
But yeah, like McQueen
it's
was
hard
saying,
to separate.
We pray for them every day, and that's we pray for their protection.
Now, let me ask you one more question about this,
yeah.
and I apologize if we're taking too long on it, but your sister, even though she was adopted, she knew who her family was, at least some of them.
Her grandmother.
Her grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And so does she still have contact with her grandmother? Or
her grandmother
know?
Is passed.
Okay, I did not
know
that. Just in the last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
right?
And
okay.
then, but she still has a lot of contacts with her friends,
mm-hmm.
and friends that live there or that were...
In the orphanage,
in the
too,
orphanage.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Where there, she had friends that used to be orphanage with her. Yeah,
yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. All right. I get it. And that's exactly what I would have expected. I mean, it is hard to have, and you know, and I'll tell you this, the way my gig in the military was, it immersed me in the lives of the people
mm-hmm.
of the war zone. Because as I was in the version of special operations I was in, it was called civil affairs, which meant that you were literally embedded. I lived among the Afghan people for a year. Well, it changed my perspective. I still saw my role as a soldier. I knew what I had
mm-hmm.
to do, and if there were threats, we had to deal with it. And there were some pretty dicey moments we had, but nonetheless, I also lived and ate and, you know, and slept next to Afghans and lived in an Afghan house. And it was, you know, it was a whole different deal. So I came home with a cultural perspective that also made it a little different for me. I can
right.
imagine that being the same for y'all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Next question. Let's do this. We got to take a little bit less time on this one just because of the breaks. But all right. Y'all are a sharp young family.
Thank you.
You just are.
McQueen is.
There is no goose poop here, all right? This is a sharp young family. All right, you guys got two beautiful kids. You've been married just under 10 years. Here's my question for you. What is your best survival tip for other young families? I don't care what it is, spiritual, emotional, financial, go buy some more guns. What is it? I mean, what's your best tip? Like if you were starting off again today and someone came and said this to you,
mm-hmm.
what would you have benefited? I'll start with you this time.
I'm not going to say McQueen. Anything about buying guns because that's going to be his answer.
Oh,
that's his two-word answer. Make Jesus first. Keep him the center and priority in all
awesome.
Things because you can fix anything if he's first.
Awesome.
And then I'd say second, your family is everything. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in... the comparison game and competition and trying to up someone on this and have nicer things. It's so easy to do that and look at other people and see that they have it better, but you're always going to see that. So, you know, make your family that keep them. They're everything. They really are. Cause when everything else fades away, you know, you've God and you've got your family. And I think just be really selective with who you let into that kind of that circle, I think is really important. And I think it's taken us a long time to kind of learn that.
What do you mean by that?
Having great friendships, but instead of having lots of friends that just are kind of, you know, that surface level, like really have those few that you can really go deep with and that more quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. We have a really awesome small group right now and it's just like so fun. Just the conversations that we have that we're like, gosh, we've never had these conversations with anyone in the church ever, you know, and it's because you just so often get that, oh, hey, how are you doing? Yeah. I'm good. How are you? And that's it. And that's so not true for most people that we're not all just, oh, I'm awesome. Just having that, you know, really that close knit, I think is so important where you can really go deep and do life with. And then the last thing I'd say, just like, sorry, babe, I'm taking all yours. Financially, like live below your means. And I think that takes that's taken us a while to learn that, but to, you know, not live at your means, not above them, but live below them.
Yeah.
And it's going to create a lot more of a stress-free life, or less stress life, at least.
I like it. So I heard, okay, let me find a recap real quick. So Jesus first, family is everything. Have those special deep relationships that you can do life with, mm-hmm. and then live below your means.
Mm. Yep.
My gosh,
she didn't leave anything for me.
I did.
And
I gave
guns,
you your
right. Buy guns.
Buy guns. I will say one more thing. Don't mistake the little moments. Don't mistake the little moments for not being important.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Like because those little moments that you have with your family. Those, even some of those are going to be lifelong memories.
I can relate to that because, I mean, I could say that about special things I got to do with my kids that were teeny tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they remember. I remember things in my life that my parents are like, you remember that? Yes, I do.
Because those things right there they mean the world to your kids.
What? And you.
And us.
And you.
Like, and you're going to remember them forever. It doesn't have to be something extravagant. It's just spending time with your family.
When your little guy, he'll know that you put down something you were doing to play catch with him in the backyard. He'll know it.
Mm-hmm.
He'll know it. And it's so important when those kind of things, those moments arise, that they don't see you going, all right, come on, I guess so. Let's do it. Let's get it over with.
Be excited.
They can tell that. Go be excited in that 10 minutes of wrestling on the floor or, you know, drawing with chalk
playing
on the
Legos.
Sidewalk or whatever else. Yeah, exactly, man. Those are memories that last a lifetime and they work. I love that.
That was a good one.
All right, so when do you guys write your book? Because I feel like this is going to be...
Well, these are the things that we talk about.
Yeah, I know. I was right, like, you pulled that right from the podcast.
I did.
You know, I've always wanted to write a book.
Did I just give you guys a total layup here? I did, didn't I?
Yeah, that was you didn't help us out for the future. That was one of our other episodes.
All right, Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We'll do the break right now. We'll come right back and finish this up because in the next round of this, I have to sit back in fear and trembling because they're allowed to ask me any question they want to ask, and I reserve the right not to answer, but we'll see. All right, we're with Boomer and McQueen.
You wouldn't dare.
Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Here in studio right now, with the two people in the background of Right Side Radio that just make it all work, and that's Boomer and McQueen, who also have their podcast, their own podcast that comes out weekly. Well, actually, sometimes even two times a week. All on Wednesdays, you drop the new ones in, Boomer, is that right?
Yes,
and
Wednesdays.
Then, yeah, call it the Right Life Podcast. We like to say it's part of the Right Side Multiverse. All right, Boomer and McQueen, we do this stuff. I asked y'all questions a while ago Now we go to the time where I sit back and go, oh boy.
What's coming at you?
So y'all get to ask me any question. Doesn't matter what it is. Personal, you know, topical, whatever. So who's first? Who's got one?
Oh, I'm ready. I feel like Boomer always tries to throw you off. I like you to explain things I like you to explain things from your perspective and to make it more clear to people like me.
Okay,
so.
What you got?
I just would love your opinion on just everything with the bank bailouts with SVB and Signature.
Thank you for calling it a bailout, because that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the Biden administration is trying to portray this as not a bailout, mm-hmm. because the funds for it are coming from the FDIC. So banks participate in the FDIC, which stands for what? The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, I believe. They participate in that, and they provide funds to help fund it, and it's there to be like an emergency reserve opportunity and a regulatory agency that watches over banks. And if there's an issue, it will cover uninsured debt. It will cover up to $250,000 of someone's potential losses, all right? Except $250,000, which is the regulatory threshold, the Biden administration just said, "Nah, we're going to fund all of it," and so they're just going to cover everything. But it's not a bailout because we didn't save the bank. The bank's still going away. No. It's still a bailout.
And they're saying it's not going to cost us anything.
Well, technically, it does cost us something because what it does is it costs us something in a variety of ways. When the government does this, it creates the automatic perception in the market that, oh, we can do anything and they'll just bail us out.
Mm-hmm.
It also means regulatory efforts by the government are really not meaningful. They're just like notions, and we hope you'll stay in line. But if you don't, we'll be here for you. And then on top of that, technically the banks, they didn't fund the FDIC's reserve accounts with money they printed.
Right.
They funded it with efforts through banking by citizens like you and I. So those dollars came from somewhere, and they came from people. They came from companies. They came from, you know, the small businesses that have been, you know, using that bank. So it's absolutely, and a lot of this is just asinine decision making on the part of that bank. But at the same time, where were the regulatory efforts? Where was the people, some of whom are like Janet Yellen and Fed Reserve Chairman Jay Powell and others, that are supposed to be watching and watching for the warning signs. And the warning signs were there, but they were so busy at the SVB Bank, you know, doing Gay Pride Week and taking their women employees on a big ski trip to Colorado to celebrate Women's Month. They were not focused as they should have been on true shareholder protection in return.
Mm.
And so your use of the word bailout, the Biden administration insists it's not a bailout. Oh, it's a bailout.
Yeah. And aren't these numbers probably even bigger because of, like, the banks involved? I mean, like, as far as, like, the accounts of the people that hold these accounts?
Is it a bigger bailout than what we're talking about, the $250,000 threshold, or what are you saying?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I thought they were, like, huge numbers.
There are some. There's a lot of tech companies that were using SVB Bank that had well more than $250,000 in reserve or assets there, or for that matter, what's going to happen with the financing, you know, getting their line of credit straightened out or whatever.
Yeah.
And there was another piece I was going to say about that. Oh, darn it. I just forgot what it was. But anyway, the bottom line is this is a mess.
Yeah, I was like, it's a mess.
And there was another bank, Signature Bank. I think you mentioned that. Signature Bank collapsed on Sunday.
Right.
Okay. So was that right after the other one? Right, yeah, it was right after.
SVB on Friday, Signature on Sunday. Oh, here's the thing I was going to say. The train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
President Biden barely addresses it. It still hasn't been there to see anybody. The Chinese spy balloon flies over. It takes the president like 5 or 6 days to say something. SVB Woke Bank goes out on Friday, and the president's holding emergency meetings on Sunday and gives a speech to the American public on Monday.
Oh, Lordy.
Where is so, because he knows.
Yeah.
This is about to be a big, big, hairy deal.
Mm-hmm. And I want to get out of this.
So Fed Reserve Chairman, what's her name? Not Fed Reserve, but Federal Reserve, Janet Yellen.
Mm-hmm.
Treasury Secretary, I'm sorry, Janet Yellen, just announced today that the banking system is stable. Well, I hope that's true. And they definitely want to perceive stability. But we don't want to perceive it on bailouts. That's a mess.
I did see something Oh, does that mean it's time to end?
Yeah, when you hear the music, it's like the pastor hears the music in the background.
Man, it's like your way of making me not talk. All right.
Well, I didn't get to talk. So
you didn't get
fine.
To ask your question. Boom. Which is probably good for me. I don't know what you're going to ask.
Next time, I'll save it.
All right, we're moving on. Triple Dipper, next up, droning on about drones. We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.